السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وبعد، my dear brothers and sisters, we are gathered here for Salatul Eid, for Eid al-Adha, and to listen to and remind ourselves about certain important elements in our deen, and to make the salah and to listen to the khutbah of Eid. Sacrifice is the hallmark of the Muslim. As we are gathered here today to listen to the khutbah of Eid al-Adha, it would do us well to remind ourselves of the spirit of the sacrifice that we are about to make. Today, the best ibadah that you can possibly do is the udhiyah. There is nothing that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more on this day than that we sacrifice an animal for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sacrifice of Eid al-Adha is in remembrance of the great sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salam, who was ready to sacrifice his son Ismail alayhi salam in obedience to and for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called out to Ibrahim alayhi salam and told him that he had fulfilled his dream and substituted the boy with a ram and accepted that sacrifice from his Khalil. This act was so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he decreed that it be really relived and renewed till the day of judgment, or as long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes, as a reminder to all Muslims that indeed to all the world that the spirit of Islam is a spirit of sacrifice. Imagine the level of sacrifice that was sought from the Khalil of Allah, Ibrahim alayhi salam, that he was asked to sacrifice his son in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us ask, what are we prepared to sacrifice to please Allah? In our case, it's not our children, but our desires, our material wealth, our false pride and arrogance that must be slaughtered if we wish to remain and attain the level of al-birr, the level of piety with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we all know, the very purpose of life itself is to lead it in such a way that we inherit our real home, which is Al-Jannah, inshaAllah. That is the meaning of the deen of Islam. Deen is not different from dunya. Deen is the way to live in this dunya, so that when we stand before Allah Jalla wa Ala, we will receive His mercy and enter into Jannah. But let us ask ourselves, do we really love Allah? What is the proof? And this proof, you don't have to give to me and I don't have to give to you. This proof is between me and Allah. It's between you and Allah. What is the proof that we love Allah? We are called Muslims because our father Ibrahim alayhi salam named us Muslims by his statement and his actions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about this, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ هُوَ اجْتَبَاكُمْ وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ مِلَّةَ أَبِيكُمْ إِبْرَاهِيمَ هُوَ سَمَّاكُمُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَفِي هَذَا لِيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ شَهِيدًا عَلَيْكُمْ وَتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ فَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِاللَّهِ هُوَ مَوْلَاكُمْ فَنِعْمَ الْمَوْلَى وَنِعْمَ النَّصِيرُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and strive hard in the cause of Allah as you ought to strive. He has chosen you to convey His message of Islam and has not laid upon you in religion any hardship. It is the religion of your father Ibrahim, and it is He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who named you Muslims both before and in this Quran, because the followers of all the Anbiya were Muslim. that the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam may be a witness over you and you be a witness over mankind. So establish a salah and give zakat and hold fast to Allah. He is your Mawla. What an excellent Mawla and what an excellent helper. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala named us Muslims after Ibrahim alayhi salam. And his action, the action of Ibrahim alayhi salam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bore witness to its sincerity and he accepted it. And we know this from the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this, where he said, Jalla wa ala, فَلَمَّا سَلَمَا وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ وَنَادَيْنَاهُ وَيَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ قَدْ زَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا إِنَّا كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ إن هذا لهو البلاء المبين وفديناه بذبح عظيم وتركنا عليه في الآخرين. Then when they had both submitted themselves to the will of Allah, that is Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam, and he had laid him prostrate on his forehead or on the side for slaughtering, we called out to him, O Ibrahim, you have fulfilled the dream. Verily, thus do we reward the Muhsinun. Verily, that indeed was a manifest trial. And we ransomed him with a great sacrifice, a ram. And we left for him a goodly remembrance among the later generations. And that remembrance is what we are enacting and we will enact, inshallah, today after we finish our salah. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam named us as the most beneficial of people. Where he said in the hadith in the At-Tirmidhi, the meaning of which is, the example of my ummah is like that of rain. It is not known whether the initial part of the rain is good or the latter part. Which means the all of the rain is good. Is it better when it falls, when it starts falling? Is it better when it finishes? It's the same. It is as beneficial as rain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called us khaira ummah for the same reason. Because we are for the benefit of all people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al Imran, Kuntum khaira ummatin ukhrijat linnas. You have been selected, you are the best of people, and you have been selected for the benefit of all mankind. Ukhrijat linnas. Allah did not say we have selected you from mankind and we have given you a high status and you are the highest caste among people. No. We are supposed to be the best of people because we are supposed to benefit all of mankind. Allah did not say ukhrijat lil muslimin. He did not say we extracted you for the Muslims. Ukhrijat lin nas. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected us and extracted us for the benefit of all mankind, irrespective of whether they are Muslims or not Muslims. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and what is this goodness and what is this benefit? Ta'muruna bil ma'rufi wa tanhauna anil munkari wa tu'minuna billah. Allah said, and what do? You enjoin all that is good. You enjoin al-ma'ruf. We restrict this meaning as only to fatawa of the Sharia. All ma'ruf, to tell somebody to live a life which is clean and decent and which is socially responsible is al-ma'ruf. To stop somebody from doing something which is indecent, which is socially irresponsible, is al-ma'ruf, which is tanhawna lil munkar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this a wide meaning which applies to every aspect of our life. My brothers and sisters, this Eid is a reminder, an opportunity and a reminder for us to examine our lives and see how we are benefiting humanity and all those who share this planet with us. Let us ask ourselves before Allah asks us. We were not sent to live like animals from sensation to sensation without any purpose. We were sent with a purpose and a duty. And we will be helped by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only when we start to fulfill that purpose. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith in Ibn Majah is reported to have said, Bada al-Islam ghariban wa say'udu ghariban kama bada fatuba lil ghuraba. Which means Islam began as something strange and it will return to being something strange. So give glad tidings of the Jannah. Tuba is a tree in the Jannah. Give glad tidings of the Jannah to the people that the world will call the strangers. There was a time when Islam was considered strange, gharib, and Muslims were considered strangers, al-ghuraba, and all hands were raised against those who said, Rabbi Allah. All hands were raised against those who said, my Rabb is Allah. My brothers and sisters, it appears that this time has come again. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam foresaw this time and gave glad tidings to those who the world would call the strangers. So who are the strangers? In a world that is filled with corruption, the upright one is a stranger. In a world that is filled with shamelessness and promiscuity, the one who is dignified is a stranger. In a world that is filled with lies, the truthful one is a stranger. In a world that is filled with oppression, the courageous one is a stranger. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the bashara of Jannah to those who the world will call a stranger. Do not be so keen to become one of a flock of sheep. Do not be so keen not to stand out. Because only when you stand out will you be called a stranger. Ask yourself, do you want the bashara of Jannah from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And if you want the bashara of Jannah, don't blend in, stand out. Sheep blend in. And you know what happens to sheep. The original strangers were the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In my view, we Muslims have the unique opportunity to recreate the character of the Sahaba in today's world, to create standard bearers of Islam, people who exemplify, embody, and showcase Islam for the world by their speech, by their actions, and their lives, and who are a source of goodness for all around them. The world today is desperate for leadership. It is desperate for leaders with integrity, focused on excellence, leaders with a sense of mission, answerable to a higher power that is aware of all that they feel and think and say and do. Leaders for whom justice and compassion are their two eyes, whose hearts bear testimony to the truth, and whose tongue and hand never rises to oppress anyone. Sounds like a fairy tale, huh? But that's what the world is asking for. And that is what is the opportunity that is before us. The question is, are you ready to be a leader like that? What do you think? I know you didn't have breakfast, but you have some life in you. Huh? Say, inshallah. I didn't hear you. Alhamdulillah. My brothers and sisters, I believe that this is what our leadership currently should focus on. To create a working model of Islamic leadership which will be a benchmark on a global platform. The task is complex and must be worked out in detail, but it's important enough for the best minds amongst us to want to dedicate time and energy to it, so that we can leave behind a legacy that will be a source of deliverance for us on the day of judgment, when there will be no friends and no intercessors. My brothers and sisters, there's a tendency in the world today to define everything a Muslim does as a factor of his Islam. Sometimes we feel this is unjustified and we complain that the actions of Muslims should not be taken to be reflective of Islam. But I remind myself and you that this complaining is a modern phenomena. The Sahaba, when they were asked about Islam, used to say, Kunu mithlana, be like us. For the Sahaba, Islam was their life, and they were the face of Islam to all the world, to all those who wanted to know what Islam was. If someone said, what is Islam? The Sahaba said, look at me. What is a Muslim business? Look at my business. What is a Muslim home? Come home. I believe, my brothers and sisters, why should we run away from this definition? Why must we say that the Muslim's action must be removed and not be interpreted as his Islam? Why must we say that? Why are we creating a second standard which never existed in the Islam, which Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought. Let the world see every action of ours as a reflection of Islam. Let us therefore ensure that this reflection is always positive. Let us show the people of the world that the people may have changed, but the religion is the same. Are you ready, inshallah? I believe passionately that this is possible with the right training, the right systems and processes. What we need is to create a system where every person feels safe, cared for, and free to live his or her life with dignity because they have a Muslim as a neighbor. Because they have a Muslim who rules the country. Because they have a Muslim who is in authority. Every person, irrespective of whether they are Muslim or not, has a right to live in safety, in comfort, and with dignity, practicing whatever they practice, because a Muslim is their neighbor. This is your responsibility. This is what Allah will ask you on the day of judgment when you and I meet Allah. This is the meaning of kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. Are we ready for this, my brothers and sisters? It's not a matter of just coming and saying inshallah and standing and sitting and looking holy. No. Are we ready? Yes or no? Hello? My brothers and sisters, I believe that in order to achieve greatness, it is necessary first to dream of great things. And this we must not be afraid to do. So we dream and we ask the one who sent the dream for the strength and guidance to make it come true. I ask Allah to give us the tawfiq and vision to do what is necessary to lay the foundation for a resurgence of Islam, where with the will of Allah one day, inshallah, Islam will once again shine out as a beacon of guidance to the world, as it did from a small village in the Arabian desert 1400 years ago. The spirit of udhiyah and sacrifice and qurbani is the submission of the will of our will to the submission of the will of Allah. When the very action of submission may well be painful to ourselves, when submitting to the will of Allah may mean denying yourself something that you find pleasant, when the submission may seem to be a source of loss or even harmful to the one who looks at it with the blind, unseeing eyes of the dunya. But to the one who sees with the eyes of taqwa, with the eyes of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Ismail alayhi salam did, he will see the blessing behind it. He will see the beauty of fulfillment of the purpose of our very existence, to obey Allah, to seek His pleasure above all else, and to be prepared to sacrifice our dearest possessions, actions and desires for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُهُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ كَذَلِكَ سَخَّرَهَا لَكُمْ لِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ وَبَشِّرِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُدَافِعُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ خَوَّانٍ كَفُورٍ. Which means it is neither their meat nor their blood that reaches Allah, but it is taqwa and piety from you that reaches Him. Thus we have made them subject to you that you may magnify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His guidance to you. And give glad tidings, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the muhsinun, the people of ihsan. Truly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defends those who believe. Verily Allah does not like any treacherous person who is treacherous and ungrateful to Allah. The purpose of Qurbani is to inculcate the spirit of submission, of sacrificing our personal desires to win the pleasure of Allah and become among those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called Al-Muhsinun. My brothers and sisters, it was the blessed sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he used to advise the women specially on Eid day. In keeping with that sunnah, I would like to advise my sisters that the example of Hajar alayhi salam, our mother and the wife of Ibrahim alayhi salam, is an excellent example for us to emulate and for you to emulate. Here was a woman who on the one hand was obedient enough to her husband to accept the fact that he was leaving her and her infant son alone in an uninhabited valley on the order of Allah. Then she had enough tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to know that if He ordered this, then He would care for them. So she allowed her husband to leave them and go on his way, knowing that he was doing the work of Allah. How many of my sisters today are prepared to allow their husbands to leave their homes for even short periods to do the work of the deen of Allah? For the dunya, you gladly leave them for 11 months per year for 35 years without complaint. Eh? But for the deen? Then Hajar alayhi salam, when her husband had left, she did not sit idle, but she made effort. She made sa'i. She made effort to see how she could secure the safety of herself and her son. Only then did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send Jibreel alayhi salam to bring forth Zamzam for them. Then Hajar alayhi salam negotiated an agreement with the people of Jurhum that came there, ensuring that she and her son retained proprietary rights over Zamzam, which was the main resource at the place. This is a lesson that is worth learning in worldly wisdom and taking care of the affairs of this life in such a way that the family is looked after. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put respect for her in the hearts of the tribal leaders so that they honored her and obeyed her. One single woman and the whole tribe of Jurhum obeyed her and they respected her. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put that rob in their hearts. Why? Because she was obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Ismail alayhi salam grew up, Hajar alayhi salam put the spirit of obedience to Allah and love for his father in the heart of the little boy, such that when his father finally came and then related his dream to his son, the son immediately accepted the will of Allah without question. All this despite the fact that until that time, the father had not taken any part, any direct part in the upbringing of the child. It was a dua of the father for the child. Nothing else. He wasn't even on the scene. But she brought up the child in such a way that he was obedient to a father he had not even seen literally. My sisters, I would like to remind myself and you that the nusra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the help of Allah comes to those who choose to be obedient to him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for them from sources that they could not imagine. For he said, Jalla wa ala, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that unto everyone who has taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants a way out of their problems and provides for him in a manner beyond all expectation. And for everyone who places his trust in Allah, he alone is sufficient. My sisters, in the kind of world we live today, to build a relationship with Allah is increasingly more important. Your responsibility is twofold. You need to build the relationship yourself as well as to create an environment at home where this concern is voiced and worked on. Remember, you can only give what you have. Only a lighted lamp can illuminate. Only a lighted lamp can light other lamps. So seek to build your connection with Allah. It is strange today that in our homes, the conversation revolves around every topic except winning the pleasure of Allah. How many homes do you know where parents and children take stock of what they did in that week to please Allah? Actually take stock of this. What did we do this week to please Allah? Have you ever heard this conversation in a home? If you heard that conversation in a home, truly that home is blessed. You have an opportunity to make every single home of the people here a home that is blessed by having these conversations. I know many homes where parents check their children's performance at school or sports. I know many homes where the husband and wife talk about their financial position that month, about a holiday that they may be planning, about the need to find a bride or a groom for their children, about investments that they may have made or are planning to make for their children's future. But they mean short-term investment until the child dies, not the long-term investment for the life hereafter. On the other hand, I'm not sure that I know too many homes where when they say investment, they mean investment in the akhirah. When they say plan, they mean plan to increase their worship, obedience and sacrifice in order to please Allah. I don't know many homes where parents ask their children about the quality of their salah, or where the child, when he wants to see a picture of concentration in salah, thinks of his father or his mother. What a tragedy that you live in a house. You have children. And the children do not see you as a role model. What a tragedy that you have children and the children see you only when they think of disobedience of Allah. They do not see you and they do not think of you when they think of obedience of Allah. How should my khushu in salah be What should I look like when I'm standing in Salah? I must look like my father. I must look like my mother. When I recite the Quran, what should it sound like? It must sound like the voice of my father reciting the Quran. How many homes are there in which the father's voice reciting the Quran has never been heard? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. My brothers and sisters, I'm not trying to beat you over the head. I do that without trying. I'm trying to say to you a very simple thing. If you are from a home where your children and the house has never heard your voice reciting the Quran, go now after this salah and change that. Go now and change that. As long as you have life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you the opportunity to change that. Do not die without your giving your children a memory of your voice reciting the Quran. This would be a terrible tragedy that your child, after you are dead, your child wants to think about the Quran, and the only voice that he cannot recall is the voice of his mother or his father, because he never heard them reciting the Quran. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Don't do that to them. Don't do that to yourself. My brothers and sisters, on the other hand, think about this. I would respectfully submit to my sisters that though it is the responsibility of your men to lead in this respect, it is your responsibility to be the power behind them and give them the additional push that some of my kind need. It is your responsibility to create in your home an environment that is a counterpoint to what the children see on television and in society around them. To demonstrate values in the home that the child can use as a benchmark to judge whether what he or she is seeing in society is good or bad. To create an atmosphere of peace and harmony and sukoon and nurturing and caring and discipline that the friends of the children who come to visit your home will be influenced by. My brothers and sisters, that is your safety net for your children. Don't neglect it. Don't deny them that. It is their right, and Allah will question you on the day of judgment if you do not provide them that right. It is your responsibility to make the home a place of renewal of energy, a sanctuary of safety from the assault of society, to make the home a place where it is not only acceptable but desirable and necessary to speak of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to speak of what pleases Allah and of what the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is. Today, such conversations have become taboo in many homes. The moment you mention the name of Allah, people's faces fall and their eyes go dead, as if you mentioned something unpleasant and horrible which they didn't want to hear. It is the responsibility of you sisters to create an atmosphere where the name of Allah will make people sit up and take notice and renew their interest in the conversation. Only from such an environment will arise the revivers of Islam that we so desperately need. And that, my sisters, is in your hands, and my brothers, in your hands. My brothers and sisters in Islam, I want to end by wishing you a wonderful Eid al-Adha, Eid Mubarak, kullu am wa antum bi khair, and to request you that in the middle of your enjoyment of eating good food and meeting relatives and friends, to spare a little time to remember and remind each other of the true spirit of the sacrifice. To remember and remind each other of Muslims in other parts of the world who don't have the means or the safety to celebrate this Eid. I want to remind you that many such people who do not have the ability to celebrate this Eid live right here amongst us. Let us go and look for them and bring a smile to their faces and ensure that they have a good full meal today and that their children wear good clothes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with you and accept your worship.